Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Consciousness Shift. This is Saturday, the 10th of October. How the heck did we get here? Well, we're in that month that ends in the new year with my tribe. One of my favorite old songs. Did you know that there was a book called The Return of the Bird Tribe?
No.
Oh, well, when I was an itty-bitty metaphysician, you know, like 25 years ago, Ken Carey wrote a book called The Return of the Bird Tribes to coincide with the peas coming along. And basically, he spoke, he told stories, ancient stories, and what he did was he deciphered the ancient stories of the Iroquois Confederacy or the Onondaga and Haudenosaunee peoples of the Northeast as the bird tribes, but talked about their star ancestors and, you know, the bluebird people and all kinds of really wonderful things that, you know, he is also the author of Star Seed Transmission. Did I lose you? I hear snow on the background there.
Do you? No, I'm here. I just, I'm here in an echo with myself. Am
it's
I echoing?
Not now. Not now.
Okay. That seems better.
So there is that. Really, I mean, when everybody was beginning to call it New Age, that was one of the large publications that came out, one of the best books. You could put your hands on, like, the Spiritual Warrior or Seth book or, you know, The Return of the Bird Tribes. And the song that we played in coming was one of the songs from one of the groups that has remained, I believe, out in Oregon, a part of the rainbow spirit of it all. And we were going to discuss today the development of information as you've been listening to interesting stuff by Mr. Wilcox, David Wilcox, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Over on Gaiam TV, which is a really great place for people to go and listen to edgy, or, and I mean edgy, I mean over the edge, because a lot of people would consider stuff that we listen to as a matter of course and sort of a upgrade or at least an awareness of, oh, that's interesting out there, okay. Because everything comes to bear, everything touches each other, all the information does. But Mr. Wilcox has a, what's the name of his show?
Cosmic Disclosure. He's got a few different topics, but there's one that we're going to talk about specifically with Corey Good on it.
Yeah. Now, I listened to them, but I didn't look up Mr. Good. I was just really taken by the fact that, you know, the year that Daughters was built was the year that Mr. Carey, King Carey, came out with this book, The Return of the Bird Tribes, which has a lot of really wonderful information, a lot of teaching stories in it, but it's basically imprinted off of the Iroquois Confederacy from the northeast of our country, or what we call the Maya call the Eagle's Wing. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, we're the Eagle Wing of the continent.
The America.
Yeah, the Northern America.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what does he say, the return of the birds? What's that about?
Well, it was like a view from the divine, but it's about a re-strategizing of spiritual awareness in this way, that allowance of organizations of fear to continue to dominate in appearance while subtly people are getting awakened. Now, remember, this was 91. So you got to remember at the time that was Desert Storm. It was, you know, the first of a lot of huge breakdowns of what basically was to become more, you know, more and more like today. People would be looking hither, thither, and then because of our global consciousness, which is the internet, but it's also a very tangible, energetic resonance around the planet that now has its conduit through technology down here. And that was spoken about in Return of the Bird Tribes, the reawakening of global consciousness, the emphasis on getting yourself healthy and clean and more organic, the emphasis placed like mostly, I mean, from Alan Watts to, you know, the burgeoning Louise Hay of, you know, meditating every day and getting in touch with your authentic self. But it would, you know, allowing these organizations of fear to continue to dominate in appearance, which they'd be doing right now, honey. We subtly drain away the source of their power, the fear of the people, because awakening is knowing the truth, or knowing the deception and the lies that are being proffered to keep people in fear. And the more that you wake up and investigate what there is more of you than just the 9-to-5 wage slave, if you will. And I would call anyone even pulling in a couple of million a year wage slave at this point, because there's really, it's very cabalish. There is a group of people who have control of the major purse strings on the planet. The more money you have, or the, not the more money you have, but maybe the more places you hang with people who know. Because, you know, it's not what you got, it's who you know. And it always has been. Because that's information, you know, people don't keep their mouths shut. I mean, well, Trump is a bad example, you know, because he likes to open his mouth. But people, when they feel they're sitting with their own kind or whatever, they feel free to say, you know, hi, my name's Dan, this is what I do. Oh, have a drink, and after 3 or 4 drinks, you let little things slip. Well, it's the same in all stratas of society. So people are waking up, and the word is getting out, and folks don't think so much. First knee-jerk response is not always conspiracy. You know what I mean by that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just one big conspiracy theory, but there's also the other part of it, which is due diligence. And Ken Carey wrote this book, which was considered, you know, like Palladian. You know how many, I can still count people, friends I have today that still think, oh no, Gwen's going to go off on that nutball thing about Palladians or what they call the peas. You know. But for me, that's a very tangible, multidimensional, phaseable reality. Did I say that okay?
Absolutely, because a lot of times the people that say, oh, what are you, here she goes off with the Pleiadians or whatever, have never taken the time to actually listen or look into what the Pleiadians may actually be. And that's the whole idea now, is to be able to discern the truth from, like we talk about a lot, the lens of your own truth, what rings true for you.
Right.
Using that lens, if you actually take the time to look at things, you know, not everything is what it says it is, but a lot of things are. And especially when you look at consistency, either of message or when you're looking at people like Corey Good, if you know anything about how people lie and how people tell the truth and how they think of details and how fast they recall information,
yeah,
you can see whether someone's telling the truth, and if they're not, they're like a mastermind. But it's like, it's not even real. I don't know if it's really possible for most people to be deceptive if you're paying attention.
Well, it's hard to believe people even look on the television screen and listen to someone like the guy who was going to run for the House, or to get yourself, listen, this is what's really challenging. I find it happening a lot. I'm glad I have a remote control with mute on it, because just about in the evening, when some really good fiction to take your mind off of the crap or whatever, if you enjoy watching stories or television or movies, which almost everyone does, between... they hit you with 4 minute and 5 minute intervals, 3.5 minutes to 4.5 minute intervals of primarily telling you to get sick, because we can sell you what's going to make you well, and these are the symptoms you should develop, and oh, by the way, if you take some of these, you'll get other symptomatic, you know, symptoms that are the same for other deadly diseases. I mean, it's ridiculous.
But
to listen
when you
to
put when you put that through your lens of, does this make any sense? It doesn't hold up in a nanosecond. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
You can see right through what they're trying to do. They're trying to sell you something and make you sick so that you can buy this and be, again, a cash slave. So,
well,
you know.
Yeah. yeah, or that your conscious resonance, what you're thinking, the vibrations that you're creating in your home and you, within your life and what you do, is more and more eased into a natural walk of fear, you know? Your first thought, even good people, even fun people, sometimes their first thought in the morning is something that's very fear-based, like, I've got to go and make that deadline today. Or, and everything is out of time, as Dr. Arguelles, Jose Arguelles, tuned us into very well, one of the best bullhorns for time that we've had in the last several generations, told us that, you know, we're living out of time. It's a 13-moon calendar like the indigenous people around the world live under. We should be living under. And the fact that we, you call it cash slave, I call it wage slavery, you know, there's a, of course the world has to run and people need jobs, and it, but the jobs don't have to be, you know, something that they go to dreading. Even jobs that require manual labor, I mean, have you ever seen somebody who actually adores planting crops and keeping a garden or building a treehouse, working their asses off and having a good time at it? I mean, geez, I know I'm using such minuscule little examples, but the truth is, yeah. Go ahead.
That's what we're talking about here, and that's the message of the Blue Avians, and also what the book is that you were talking about, The Return of the Bird People. It's the same idea of waking up, what kind of vibration do you wake up to, and are you doing something you love, and therefore are contributing to a consciousness that is more light and love-oriented. And you're
well,
right.
That's true. That's very true. The actually one of the biggest lines quoted from The Return of the Bird Tribes is, and I got it right in front of me. I'm quoting, "We have come to initiate the most joyous age this earth has ever known, a 1,000-year period of earth healing and renewed harmony that will see the four-legged flourish, the two-leggeds awaken, the rivers run pure, and humankind in conscious exchange with the stars." That rocks. That really rocks.
Yeah. And that's this idea. That's why I thought talking about the Blue Avians is important right now, because not only are we expanding what we think could be possible, because that's part of our awareness, just because we don't know it or someone hasn't told us yet doesn't mean it's not true and hasn't been happening. And along with this vibration message, which comes from not just Moravians, obviously, but it's across the board of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's in Islam, that's in Israel, that's in Judaism, anything. That's the same message. So,
yeah,
and
my,
for us to really take it seriously, but not for the first time, but globally for the first time, really, you know, getting it out of this idea that, oh, it's a hippy-dippy message. Okay, have you ever tried it? Because it's much harder than anything you've ever done.
Yeah. Well, when you consider that the golden rule, as they call it, is actually, it's very hermetically based. It's a very alchemical equation, if you listen to what you're saying, because it's very self-preserving first. If you really gestalt it, if you grok what the golden rule is saying, and perhaps that's why in my collective we would say, and harm none, do what thou wilt, is the whole of the law. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Think about that. It's not just be nice, turn your cheek, what have you. It's, do you want to be forever condemned and damned? Do you want to live a life? I mean, let's just take an abject Christian, quote, Christian example. Here's been this woman, this female on television espousing a, what she calls pro-life ideas based on lies and accusations based in fear of erroneous film footage that was actually created for something altogether other than, I'm talking about the Planned Parenthood thing, but I'm speaking about Carly Fiorina, who is a current politician running under the Republican flag for, you know, to be the leader of this nation. And if you take a look at her, and you're really looking, you look at her body language, the way she looks at people, the way her eyes move when she's speaking to the camera, the way her mouth purses and makes itself ready for the next thing she's going to say. If you take a look at the way her shoulders move, what she's doing and her whole freaking aura, but I can't say that to just anybody. She is basically a very chained energy. She's a slave to her own greed. And that slavery comes out in a very nasty nature of judgment. I don't believe for a minute the woman's made a sincere declaration off camera or on camera for years. But that's me being judgmental. I get that. Still, if you take a look at the examples being put before us right now, another one is Trump. And then on our side, on the, quote, liberal side or the blue side of the fence, you have Hillary Clinton, who is an absolute wonderful standard of a goddess, as who she should be in this society, who sold out, who completely has sold out. Many of the gods and goddesses did. You know, they're filled with stories of, you know, claiming back their glory. You know what I mean? But Hillary Clinton stands that way. Then you have a fellow like Bernie Sanders, who's just, you know, really saying the right stuff and is actually sincere and putting it out there. And yet he still will cling to fear and war by supporting, you know, the country of his culture's, you know, flag pin on the planet with Israel, which makes it very difficult to support him because, you know, it's an apartheid. But so you got all this clear stuff going on. Now you're going to have to begin to speak about the blue.
Avians.
What are they called? Avians. Because I know about Ken Carey's The Return of the Bird Tribes, and I'm very much a fan of it, and understand the representation and models of galactic cultures. I really would like to know. I only got to listen to 1.5 of these things. So why don't you do a good job here of explaining the other side of what we're speaking of, or the foundational side of what we're speaking about.
Sure. So I found out about them from a man named Corey Good, G-O-D-D-E, and on David Wilcox's show, he's one of who was supposed to be a handful, but right now he's kind of the only one from his connections that have come forward to talk about the secret space stations and all kinds of information that is not at all made readily available to the public. And David Wilcox has his own insiders that don't want to come forward but have told him a lot of information, and a lot of things seem to match up if you watch their whole series. So Corey Good was chosen by the Blue Avians to be their delegate or liaison, and to speak for them, and to speak their words. And they were very specific about, you say exact, don't change one word, say exactly what we're saying. And so the Blue Avians are an 8-foot-tall, bird-like humanoid. They're called the Blue Avians because their feathers are anywhere from blue to indigo. And they have a soft, beak-like mouth that moves, but they talk telepathically. So they have one hand up and they make signs, but you hear them in your mind. And one talks to him specifically. He calls him Ra Pure Air, and he's appeared to him in his house. I mean, he said as clearly as a person standing in front of you. And he did touch Corey once, and to help him to let go of the negative. And the touch felt, he said, powdery, like powdery soft. So apparently the Blue Avians take this form. They're from 6th to 9th density beings, which is, if we know anything about the different dimensions, by then you're not in a physical body, but you can take physical form. And their message is about raising our vibration and stopping the wars, because it has an effect not only for our planet and our solar system, but it ripples out in the universe, and for us to take our place in the galactic, basically federation that's already existing, we have to raise our consciousness as a planetary consciousness. So they talk about letting go of the negative, and Corey was very apprehensive about becoming the spokesperson, because when you see him, like, you know, he talks, but he's not a showy person. He's not terribly charismatic. And he was like, no, I don't want to do this. And that's when they touched him and said, you know, let go of the negative, because he was arguing for his limitation as to why he was a bad choice. So,
well,
and just the last thing I'll say, yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask you about what was interesting to me was the descriptions I was listening to him about that he was giving about this sphere being alliance and the spheres that are supposed to be disseminated all through our solar system to actually filter the black hole transmissions that are headed our way. That have been hitting us since the, I guess, early 70s, but are there now. Do you have anything to add on that, this sphere being thing?
Sure. So apparently there's 100 giant spheres that have been placed at different intervals around our solar system that are helping to diffuse the cosmic, they call it tsunami, that's coming towards us of new energy, because our solar system is moving into a higher density, higher energy part of the galaxy, and that's where these waves are coming towards us. So they're helping to diffuse it, this new energy, so that we have more time to prepare and get it together and understand what's happening. But they said if not, like, there could be mass chaos and madness, and people could lose it because it's too much at once. So, and apparently they're sort of interdimensional. So we're not seeing them with telescopes, but Corey claims that he's been in them numerous times, taken there, and you can see the other spheres from inside the one that you're in, and they have like different phases. You know, if you want to know more about those, you can look. And also, there's a website that Corey started called Fear Being Aligned. So there's more information on it there. But that's the idea, to help us with the energies, the new energies, so that we have time to assimilate them.
Okay. So I'm thinking that, what is your opinion about all of this? What do you think, how much credibility do you give the complete message you're getting from Corey?
It's pretty mind blowing.
It is. Yeah, it's fascinating. I intend to listen to the rest of the stuff. I've noticed that there's, as always, There's the Galactic Federation out there, and I mean there's just so many different hierarchies that it's still so hierarchical. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it
many
seems
different
that levels. Dimensions.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Levels are levels. We see them as levels, and who knows, maybe it's given to us so that we can kind of understand, and it's not necessarily levels when you get to a higher level. But from our perspective, I think this is the best way for us to understand these levels. And before I answer your question, from my research, once you get to sixth density, there is no more negative. Like, no, you cannot proceed past a certain point and be of a negative service self vibration. So, and then levels turn into something else after level. So, from our perspective, level. But what I think about it is, cross-reference is a great tool. And through my own research and what information has been given to me, it coincides with a lot of what's said. One thing is that the Pleiadians have mentioned that we've been under quarantine for a while, nobody in, nobody out.
He spoke about a two massive holocaust. And it's just the episode I was listening to, one on Earth and the other on Mars, that reinstituted or re-anchored war as a dominant energy in the area. And I think it's interesting that just last week they found evidence of water on Mars, which means life on Mars. So I didn't mean to. Please go on. I just wanted to interject that.
Yeah, well, that's part of it, and you know, we'll just continue, because really, this is no, you know, slow Band-Aid peel. It's best to just get to it if you're going to do it. And apparently, Mars was a civilization, and a lot of Martians came here and formed part of what we consider as our human race. And that's not the first time I've heard that. The Pleiadians have talked about that. Ra in the Book of One talks about that. So cross-reference, same story. And so that's the idea, is that this, there's like a thousand-year process here where we get past our connection with war and service to self. This notion of service to self and service to others comes from the Book of One, the Law of One, which is written by, it's called Ra, a humble messenger of the Law of One. And the Blue Avian, the Blue Avian that Corey Good talks to, he calls himself Ra Tyr'er. And in one episode, he talked about when he went to this big meeting of world minds, world people. The Blue Avian came and Corey conveyed the message that the Blue Avian was giving. And one question was, are you Ra of the Law of One? And his answer was, I am Ra Tirer. And then moved on to the next question. And one thing about the...
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, one thing about the Law of One, the book of the book of the Law of One, is every answer that is given, he says, I am Ra, and then takes the answer. So,
yeah.
Kind of maybe seems like he's saying yes.
You would gather, but it can be confusing if you allow it to be. I think that's another thing that's being sort of downloaded right now, is the ability to expand your correlative capacity of mind, so that you can be watching the Supernatural show on television, studying the events of a sphere being alliance and the Palladian handbook, and downloading all this other information at the same time, watching NASA website and seeing what's coming out of the sun, what its sunspots and burst cycles are, and what the solar generation is doing, and paying attention to astrology. All of these things is necessary to be paying attention to all these different elements and all these different stories that, like acetate drawings, are piled one of on top of the other, so that in the end you hold it up to the light and there's some discernible kind of a pattern there that says, here, this is what you're being told, you know?
Exactly. Well, that's exactly what's going on. But it takes people to actually take the time, like you said, out of the 9-to-5 drudgery and then, you know, pot pie and commercials, to actually think about that this is possible and actually see for themselves the through lines that are clearly there. So one of the things that I think is going to be most shocking, and apparently it's only a matter of time before it comes out, is that not only are there a few different extraterrestrial races or groups out there, but there's hundreds, if not more, that we know of. And we've already, according to Corey, have made massive amounts of contact, that we already have colonies on the moon, that we have a base on the colonies on Mars. We have a base on the moon that you can get to in 4 minutes. You know, it could blow your mind, but who's to say that's not possible? I mean, can you really say that that is not happening?
No, but, you know, I wonder sometimes, though, if some of the atrocity that we see catered across our screens sometimes, you know, I wonder if that's all really happening, too. So,
I mean,
from a serious point of view, there are certain stories that come out that I'm like, well, wait a minute. I actually think that this is going to sound crazy for Next Journal. I'll actually go over to Twitter or Facebook to get confirmation of things.
That's what it is now. It's the running commentary, right? And you can sort of see.
I don't go to everyone. I go to certain sources that I know are there on Facebook or Twitter, that I know their due diligence is pretty damn good. Like all of us, it's not always right on. But there's other groups you would think I'd be really a part of, but I can't, there's just so much malarkey in the rooms that, at, you know, that one or two posts a week that might be so worthwhile, it's not worth putting up with all the other crap that goes by. You know, I have a couple of rooms that I'm part of like that. One of the best rooms on Facebook is Cosmic Intelligence Agency. These are astrologers and astronomers who are posting. They're based out of Australia and New Zealand, but they have astrologers up on this side of the planet who are contributing just as much. And they're really wonderful. I think if I would say I look for some kind of anchor, I usually will go to the astrology. What's going on? What's the interpretation? What's the most resonantly correct vibrating interpretation of the planets that I can find and go from there, which usually includes that page on Facebook, but most definitely includes Tom Lesher's Pele Report. I do listen to that because he's been so not just correct, it's that he's so informative and he's also a great teacher. He's saying these are the lessons that are available right now.
And if you notice that they, if you listen to different astrologers, if they're worth their weight in salt, they're talking about the same exact thing. And it seems to more and more coincide exactly with what we're personally feeling. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that Sarah Gilbert on the Cosmic Intelligence Agency on Facebook or Tom Lesher explains what in God's name, why am I feeling this way? I'm like, oh, you know. For example, the Mars-Neptune conjunction that we had just a few days ago, I was having the toughest time. I felt sad. I didn't know why. My head was going in 90 directions. Well, Mars is action go, and I'm also an Aries, so I'm very connected to the Mars. And Neptune is confusion and expansion and, like, where are we next? So, of course, I was like, oh. And then it helps you to ride with the energy. I mean, this is all, it's a seesaw that doesn't just go up and down. It goes all around. It's like a teeter-totter. And we have to learn to ride with the energies. And that's the whole message here. Is the best way to ride with the energy, not only to understand what's going on, but by understanding what's going on, it helps us to feel better. And then we feel better, and then we're riding with the energy, and then we're creating more of a light standard, which is apparently what it's all about. All of us starting to light up, which is already happening, been happening for 20, 30, 40 years. But now it's really, you can have instantaneous wake-ups.
Well, and I got to tell you something. As far as the little light anchors, especially in urban areas, you know, years ago, one of the places that banged out a lot of the information and the TM, the Transcendental Meditation Movement, all of this, was on Melrose Avenue in Los Angeles. It was a place called the Bodhi Tree. And a lot of people, I mean, you know, from Shirley MacLaine to Ken Carey to many people found that place of service to themselves, and they sent others there. It closed down notoriously like about seven, eight years ago. And the guy who owned it, who bought it and had it for several years, said, you know, the metaphysical, the spiritual movement is dead. The bookstore business is dead. It was like he got gobbled up by this evil creature or something, but he closed it down. And yet the nexus of that energy is still there. You know, there's a place opening up a couple of blocks down the street called House of Intuition. It's one of many stores they have in LA, and it's tapping into that matrix, that nexus, that there are those, there are ley lines for folk like ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But please keep talking about the sphere being alliance and how this filtering is buffering and what it's buffering. Can you do that?
Yeah, to the best of my understanding, first off, I would say that getting past this notion, this antiquated notion that we're alone in the universe, and not only are we not alone, but we're teeming with all kinds of levels of density. And I guess for those that don't know, levels of density, there are octaves. I'm getting this information from the Law of One, is that first density is elements, second density is plants and animals, third density is consciousness, human awareness, not just consciousness, because everything is conscious, including in the first dimension. And then fourth is about love. Fifth is about wisdom. And sixth is about unity. And the only way to get past six is to understand the same amount of love as the same amount of wisdom. And that's where negative beings can't really reconcile that, because they may have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have the love, at least not the love or service to others. It's more all about self. So, and then I forget what seventh density is, and then eighth, you become something else. So each level helps the level underneath it.
Yeah.
Especially. So I think that's important to know, like when starting to delve into these things. And Ra is sixth density. The Blue Avians are sixth to ninth density. And the message is always the same. You have to decide if you are aligned with service to self or service to others. But either way, you need to wake up to yourself and you need to understand who you are at some point and choose your polarity so that you can accumulate experiences here. So right now we're being asked as a collective of earthlings to raise our consciousness so that we can really start to really enjoy what it is to be alive and here on a whole different level that we haven't known for quite some time, if ever, to this level. So it's part of our evolution, and that's where the spheres are helping to balance that out, because I guess, you know, you get to the rendezvous point, the energy is what it is, you're where you're at, and if it's too high, it creates, you know, too much of a chasm between where you are and where you need to go. It's like showing up to an advanced calculus class without having the first three prerequisites. You're going to be totally lost and overwhelmed. So that's, in my opinion, what's happening with the spirit. And why? Wow. You ask why. Why this helps, right? Well, apparently, we affect more than just ourselves and our planet. We ripple out, just like all energy does.
Right. Yeah. I would really, anyone who's interested in this, I would recommend going over to Gaiam TV, which is a subscription television channel online, but it's well done. It's well put together, and I think it's $9.98 a month. It's worthwhile if you want this information. They do.
And if you're not sure about signing up for Gaiam, you can watch the first, I think they have three or four episodes free. You go to cosmicdisclosure.com, they have the first few episodes with Tori there. You can watch it for free. But Gaiam, I mean, it's a huge library of everything that we're talking about and more and yoga and anything.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a really great start at a a metaphysical channel. It really is. And there's another one out there that Deepak Chopra is touting that I do too, and I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's Science of Mind and Science of Spirit, and the forays into the origins of intelligence and that kind of thing. It's really great. Anyway, I wanted to add in a little piece here from the Return of the Bird Tribes. It says, I remember distinctly, while it was being explained that what was happening on Earth was like the changing of a guard, suddenly the spinning planet, which until now had seemed unremarkable except for the gentle rocking of her seasons, was sprouting an enormous wound. An ominous gray circular cloud rolled towards us with the new day, obscuring the southern portion of the Japanese archipelago. As our vision penetrated beneath, we saw that it was supported by a black pillar, a turbulent inferno of awesome destruction. With each roll of the earth, we could feel raw human terror broadcast upwards, rippling through our open hearts in waves of unbridled fear. Then suddenly, rolling toward us from the east, came another, a towering column of dark red cloud-like substance surrounded an empty void that seemed as impossible in the midst of chaos as the chaos itself. Immediately, we slowed our time perception and zoomed in to experience the day we were in. Into a vacuum hole, soil and water and organic life poured, tumbling and boiling, rising into billowing clouds of turbulence that rose almost to touch it. As far as we could see, all beneath us was inhabited by swirling, sucking whirlpools and shooting balls of random fire, the likes of which I've never seen, only upon the surface of stars. He was saying this was what they remembered from the bird tribe people that came back to give him this information. It was the return of the bird tribes was a reawakening and a warning to what we were headlong rushing into.
Well, I have to put in. That Corey also mentions eventually about parallel Earth, and apparently one of the parallel Earth that we're trying to help or do something with actually has succumbed to a lot of war, and in that reality, the Nazis won, that there is a new world order totally in place, and that it's a very dark, dim kind of existence. There's not a lot of hope. They don't have the technology that we have, so I guess we're trying to help them. They're popping back and forth. That's a whole another show. But it is choices that we have to make here. And if it's true,
exactly,
we create our own reality by us focusing more on the positive and more on the world that we want to see and live in, then that creates that world that we want to see and live in. I mean, it's that simple. And usually the truth is pretty simple.
Is it?
Is it? I mean, you can use a lot of words.
I'm giving you an opening for a truth line there is what I'm trying to do, you know? Yes, of course it is. But what is the truth? What is the truth?
The truth is something that resonates with you when you are, I mean, this is my opinion, when the truth resonates with you when you are in alignment with yourself and moving along with the universe. You do have a truth detector. And I mean, that was Corey's whole job in the my lab, was to be a human lie detector with all kinds of beings. And one of the most interesting things that David Wilcox says, so is deception, like human deception, the same as like alien deception? And Corey said, oh, absolutely. It's the same. If you're lying, you're lying. And it's the same vibration.
So what you're saying is that we are responsible for our own truth, for holding with, discovering, and holding with our own truth.
Yeah. Right, and constantly seeing what that truth is. I mean, constantly
evolving.
If you're right, and you're going through a lot of information, you have to test it through your lens of what you know to be true. And sometimes it bursts open what you knew to be true before, and it's much more than that. But if you're open to it and you go, okay, could this be true? Let's see what this is. It's all feeling based. Apparently, it gets to a point where...
That's the next question. If you have discovered your truth, how do you feel? Because the feeling is what we resonate. That's the actual vibration. It's what our feeling. So the next question is, how does the truth make you feel? Correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the truth can make you feel bad, but only because maybe you've been put pigeonholed into a box by old belief systems that came from whoever or wherever, including yourself, and it starts to bang on that door. And then you go, oh, right?
Well, and it's also part of the polarity, which is just a part of the physics of the universe. According to, you want to define the light, you have to stand in the darkness, and vice versa. So it's that polarity thing. It's what you are going to hold on to eventually, correct? Yeah, what you want the most is what you will bring about the most. If you want to feel good, you will.
Right. And you will find things that make you feel good and find things that resonate and find things that are consistent. That's how I measure truth. If the same message is coming across the board with slightly different details, I mean, can you deny that it's a thing?
I don't think you can. I don't think you can. So it comes right back to the journey of the self, what you're open to, and it's huge time to be alive because there's just so much happening. And there just should not be a cap on what you call reality. Reality, as Einstein said, and as the science that is almost nanosecondly evolving these days, is that we actually do, as you began this whole show with, we really do create our own reality.
Yeah, and to create the reality that you want, I'll leave you with this short message of what is the message. I'm getting it from the SphereBeingAlliance.com.
Mm-hmm.
The message is, every day focus on becoming more service to others oriented. Focus on being more loving and focus on raising your vibrational and consciousness level and to learn to forgive yourself and others, thus releasing karma. This will change the vibration of the planet, the shared consciousness of humanity, and change humanity one person at a time. They say to treat your body as a temple and change over to a higher vibration diet, which is more about fruits and vegetables incorporated with whatever else you're doing. That's how, you don't have to go nuts. This sounds to many, like, hippie love and peace message that will not make a difference. And then Corey says, I assure you, the path they lay out in their message is a difficult one. Even on the unlikely chance that these technologies stay suppressed, imagine what world we would live in if everyone made these changes to themselves. So,
that's a good line to end on. We're just out of time.
All right. Love, people. Good journeys in your seeking of knowledge.
Thank you, Nick. We'll be back with you next Saturday at 3 p.m. And thanks for bringing up the topic. Maybe we can get a guest on who knows a little more, who's been writing about it or something. It would be a great conversation. This has been the Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry. We'll be back at 3 p.m. next week. Until then, take care of yourself, be safe, and Makesh. And goodbye, Nick.